Thanks for listening to us on the Jefferson Exchange today. We're always glad when you're here. And if you'd like to take part in our conversations, you're more than welcome. 800-838-3760, our toll-free number anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. When you line up the states for the ease of minors buying tobacco products illegally, Oregon doesn't look very good by comparison. And within Oregon, Lane County tends to allow tobacco sales to minors more than in many other counties. The numbers are certainly a cause for concern for county leaders, and they are talking about ways to make it much less likely that anybody underage will walk into a store and walk out with cigarettes. Jason Davis is a public information officer with Lane County Health and Human Services and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange today. Jason, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Jeff. Glad to be here.
Good to have you. Any idea why Oregon seems to have more of a problem with kids buying tobacco products?
There's a few reasons, and the one that we're talking to here that we've kind of identified, or rather our prevention team who works on this stuff pretty much nonstop has identified, is that Oregon regulation around tobacco is pretty lax. We don't have a state licensure requirement. We're one of 13 states that doesn't. And within that, there's only, if someone violates and sells to a minor, there's no license to strip, obviously. But then on top of that, they only get a flat $100 fee, no matter how many times they violate.
Really? So there's no fine, there's no escalating level of fines, nothing like that?
No escalating level.
Okay. I should point out, I was looking at overall context, though, and apparently since the Sinar Amendment came into effect in the late 90s, it looks like the states have actually done a pretty good job generally in reducing and meeting the target set by the federal government. Do you know much about the Sinar Amendment, enough to give us an outline?
So the Sinar, it was designed to just provide some checks and balances, and there is, a method within there to do just that, but in the rural counties, especially in the unincorporated areas, that's where we kind of fall short. So if you look at your municipality, sure, you see the rates going down, but if you actually take into account all the places that the people live, what we see is that the rates outside of those municipalities are staying pretty constant, and then sometimes actually going up, and that's the case definitely here in Lane County.
Is that a cultural thing then, or just a lack of enforcement? I mean, why outside the city limits, granted, which is where you're talking about the effectiveness in Lane County here, why would there be such a difference, do we know?
Well, and, part of that goes back to the way different, forms of government run. So you have your municipality governments, municipal governments, and then you have your county governments. And typically your county governments aren't going to extend as many controls out into those unincorporated areas. In Lane County, however, we have in two major thoroughfares going through our county, one of which obviously being I-5, and a number of businesses that aren't associated with any municipality up and down there. And that's where we're seeing a lot of the tobacco sales actually occur.
And are we talking all tobacco smoked and smokeless, or just smoking?
Both, definitely. And again, there seems to be a predominance for smokeless tobacco in rural areas as well. You don't see it purchased as much by teenagers or even tried to do so in, the city limits of, let's say, Eugene, Springfield, Florence, et cetera. But out in the rural areas, we see a lot more of that. And then also, cigarettes, by and large, the lion's share of that, but definitely following up on the smokeless tobacco. And in a side note, another thing that we're seeing a steady increase of is the e-cigarette sales and usage among teenagers. And that's another thing that we're putting our heads together that wouldn't be necessarily applicable to this specific situation.
All right. So you got tobacco, both kinds, and e-cigarettes as well. So all kinds of fun things to think about.
Right.
I should point out, too, that based on what I was seeing from the national numbers, it looks like the general incidence of people buying tobacco products is down to, it's under 10% now nationally.
Nationally, we're doing really well. Mm-hmm. And even in Oregon, we're steadily, very incrementally, but steadily declining. We're about 17%, so we're 7% higher than the national average. And Lane County's out to around 21% of our population is regular tobacco users. So Lane County doubled the national average, Oregon itself up there as well.
All right. And so just to point out, too, that the target is 20%, so the state is still within that, Lane County just slightly over it. And by comparison, as I understand, when the process of instituting the Sinar Amendment first went into place, the incidence of minors buying tobacco in some places was as high as 70% and then some.
Right. So we know, and that's part of the information that our prevention team drawn from when looking into possible scenarios or possible approaches to reduce our tobacco use rate even more. So we have, you know, all counties in Oregon or different districts, sometimes combinations of counties, are pursuing what's called the Community Health Improvement Plan, and that's part of the Affordable Care Act. And so those plans identify certain health priorities that their community or their county, whatever area or jurisdiction that they're talking about, are going to focus on. One of ours is reducing smoking. And so that's why we're taking such a concerted effort. Not that public health isn't always thinking of ways to reduce smoking, because we haven't yet seen any positive benefits to smoking, but that's the main push for this policy-oriented focus.
So the Community Health Improvement Plan, are there some dollars attached to that as you not only lay one out but also begin to take steps to implement?
There are some dollars attached. We haven't seen those just yet, but we are that's in the talks for actually being able to roll out some of these measures. But the caveat to all that is that the plan itself is designed around reaching the most people with the least amount of resources. So the way that you do that is through policy, and not just at a governmental level, but working with businesses to make their business campus smoke-free. You know, working with actual policy in stores, voluntary policy. So, you know, around a similar push we did around binge drinking for alcohol, and it was a voluntary policy that we went out to Lane County retailers, and we received a ton of cooperation. Really effective policy. Now, with cigarettes, it's different in the rural areas. There has been, you know, a prohibition against selling to minors, and for the most part, because the regulation and the imposing fines are so minimal and so sporadic, that's almost been voluntary in and of itself. So we know that that's not quite doing the job that we want it to do, especially in our rural counties. So we want to extend what's already going on in Eugene, Springfield, Oak Ridge, throughout all of Lane County. The great part about that is the municipalities who already have a tobacco tax, like I said, Eugene, Springfield, and Oak Ridge, the vendors there wouldn't be, or not a tax, a license, wouldn't have to pay for an additional license. It would be a one-time license for regardless, wherever you live in the county.
Okay, so pretty much the same thing across all those jurisdictions.
Right.
Jason Davis is a guest in the Jefferson Exchange. He's a public information officer with Lane County Health and Human Services, and we're talking about tobacco sales to minors, steps Lane County is taking to reduce its rate, which is still a bit higher than the state average and higher than the national average. Join us on the Exchange with your comments or questions about tobacco sales to minors, 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782, our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Jason, are the sales to minors generally discovered through the so-called stings where people are sent out underage with fake ID or not and just try to buy tobacco products?
Traditionally, definitely. And that's where we get the lion's share of our numbers. However, the prevention team has been pursuing some creative ways to find out or get a snapshot of the usage as well. So we've actually been polling teenagers, and it's surprising how candid and honest they are about both where they buy the cigarettes and then how often they buy them. So we've gotten a picture, you know, directly from the horse's mouth, so to speak, of what's going on in that demographic.
And what usually are the places and the circumstances in which the purchases are made?
So a lot of times, you know, more often than not, most kids actually will slip them from their parents. That's what we've heard. So it's one or two at a time. Or an older sibling or older friend will actually, someone who's over 18, go and legally buy them. That's an incredibly difficult thing to control or to try to watch. But there is a significant percentage of kids who will identify through word of mouth usually a place, and they're very strategic about it, you know, depending on who's working and when, and they can go in and buy the cigarettes from that outlet. And typically, like we said, we see it more in the rural unincorporated areas. Now, we have to be clear that what we're pushing for on this license, you know, the violation aspect of it, one thing that we've identified, you know, there's still a lot that's not nailed down, but one of the things that we've identified is traditionally in Oregon, the fine actually, it goes back and forth as to whether or not the business owner or the clerk who sells the tobacco is held accountable. And in this case, what we're pushing for is the actual business owner would be held accountable, not the clerk itself. So it'll hopefully encourage business owners to put into place policy that's known for all their employees that it's not acceptable to sell to minors under any circumstances, and that, you know, appropriate actions going forward to make sure that doesn't happen. And then that would be a catalyst to lose their license if there was a number of offenses.
All right. So that comes back to what you said a moment ago, where some of it is about who's working when. And so
Right. Where
people would say, oh, well, you know, Ron's working today, let's go buy some cigarettes.
Exactly.
Ron would not be the one who would get fired, but the business owner himself or herself could get in trouble for this.
We get fined, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're talking again to Jason Davis at Lane County Health and Human Services, public information officer, about working to curb tobacco sales to minors. So when we're talking about just in the unincorporated areas of Lane County, which, of course, is where your jurisdiction lies, how many different stores are there? Have you assessed that much so far?
Yeah. So what we've come up with so far is around 300.
Oh, wow. So that's
a significant number, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. And generally on the edges of cities? I mean, just outside
edges.
Of the...
Well, yeah, and then also, like I said, we have these, you know, with the thoroughfares, up and down the thoroughfares, pretty much every exit, you'll find two or three places you can buy tobacco. It's a readily available product. And then over on the Highway 101 as well, lots of places where people, you know, just for service convenience, for their cars, where they travel, anywhere where you would stop off for any other service, you can pretty much find tobacco.
All right, let's take a call here. We have Jim in Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jason Davis. We're talking about tobacco sales to minors.
Yes, good morning. The thing that's always come up since I was a kid, why has there never been push for somebody under 18 possessing tobacco, just as a under 21 possessing alcohol? Don't place all of the emphasis on the fines and everything on the sellers. And also, there's a tremendous amount of, especially young ladies that guys are not quite sure of their age and whatever, buying them, even if they're 19 or 20, definitely buying them for younger guys. But the possession of should be as much in the picture as the selling of. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for that, Jim. Appreciate it. Are there laws or sanctions against minors in possession of tobacco products?
So currently, right now, their individual cities actually have written into their code laws against youth smoking in public places, etc. And so that just depends by municipality. But I think Jim's actually right. I think that's a great approach. That you know, even possessing tobacco products as a minor would be a great, or making that illegal would be a great step towards the right direction. However, you know, what our prevention team really is doing right now is they're looking at the analytics around what can we do with shrinking budgets. I mean, let's face it, everybody, you know, whether you are a town or a county or a state, your budgets are shrinking. And a lot of people would say it's about time. But, you know, with our current situation, we have to do more with less. And with a possession, a law around possession or penalties for having cigarettes, while they are extremely effective, they require a great deal of enforcement, and enforcement costs money. So what we're talking about here is the license fee actually paying for the enforcement that would happen. So it's kind of a self-sustained program, where if we went out for a different, more complex law, we would end up having to access outside funds, maybe even possible taxation. And that's just not something we're ready to do at this point.
And I could just imagine, too, that if somebody got busted for possession of cigarettes, they would get the usual line about, why aren't you out catching the real criminals?
Right, exactly. Yeah, sure.
Right. A lot of that. Let's talk then about the procedures from here then, because first of all, you mentioned that the three cities in Lane County that do have ordinances, Eugene, Springfield, and Oak Ridge, that have licenses for selling tobacco. So right. Would Lane County adopt pretty much the same thing, and are those license structures pretty much similar city to city?
They are within a few dollars, so I think the Eugene license is around, I believe, $60, and then the Springfield is around $77, and then it's a 50, somewhere in the low 50s for a renewal. I can actually look up those numbers, but our license would be pretty similar. And we're still in our kind of embryonic stages with proposing this. So, actually, Eugene, it's a $55 license fee with a $35 renewal. So, and then Springfield is $77 with a $50 renewal.
All right.
And, so we would be going right there around that $77 is what I've been led to understand. And then there would actually be one of the decision points or things that we're talking about after we whether or not there will be a license. Again, we're still in that process of figuring out whether there will be. It still has to be discussed by our Board of County Commissioners. Then we would decide whether or not there's an escalating fine structure. So you're a first-time offender, here's your fine. Second-time offender, here's a more serious fine. And then what happens on the third time? Is that when you have your license stripped, or is it just an increasingly higher fine?
All right, a lot to consider there. Again, Jason Davis, our guest, Lane County Health and Human Services Public Information Officer. We're talking about tobacco sales to minors in Lane County. So when we're talking about then a potential license fee in unincorporated Lane County, which would not match but certainly mirror what goes on Eugene, Springfield, and Oak Ridge, is this in addition to a business license? Is this a license to sell tobacco? Is this your business license? I mean, in other words, you can have one or two.
So your business license would be completely separate from your license to sell tobacco. It would be much like having a liquor license.
All right. And again, you're thinking about what goes on. So that, and again, the question of fines and things like that. So you've mentioned that it's an embryonic process now. So what are the steps from here, Jason?
So then what happens is we have a work session where the county commissioners have the time that they don't have in their Tuesday meetings, their board meetings, where they're able to actually flesh it out and figure out whether or not their constituency would approve, or if they think that it would be an effective measure against combating youth smoking. From there, we would probably have some community input, so town hall type meetings where people can voice their concerns and kind of flesh it out. Our commissioners are always pretty great about listening to the people of Lane County and making sure that they have a chance to speak on whatever we're trying to decide. So that would pretty much be the protocol from there. And then it would go to another board meeting after everything's been fleshed out and the prevention team has put together a lot of the policy-oriented language, et cetera. And then it would be put up either as being put into practice by the commissioners, or the commissioners could call for a vote on it as well. So it could go either way. So there's a lot we don't know at this point. But what we do know is that the ideas worked in other places. And so that's kind of what we're going off of.
It sounds like the timeline here is 6 months to a year. Is that a fair
guess? I think that would be a fair assessment, Jeff. Yeah.
All right. And you mentioned that in trying to do things like curb certain types of behaviors you don't want, like binge drinking, that it's necessary to take in a total picture.
Right.
So you're not just talking about putting pressure on the salespeople here who sell tobacco products in this instance, but what are the other cultural things you would do to try to make it clear that that it is not a good thing for minors to be buying tobacco products?
Well, education obviously is something that we've always pursued, and so we're in the schools teaching the harms of tobacco. We have several actual methods for younger kids. One's called the Good Behavior Game that teaches good habits. One of them, obviously, not being smoking. And then also working with adults, policies that affect adults, and teaching them how to talk to their kids about tobacco. We know that 95% of people who start smoking actually start before the age 18. It's crazy to think about, but the majority of the people that you see smoking out in the community these days actually start before the age 18. If we can delay that decision, then we're delaying that until they're legally an adult, when they have to pay taxes, when they have to do everything else that adults do. That's when they should be making the decision whether or not they want to start smoking, not before.
All right. If this license fee idea for tobacco sales is instituted in rural Lane County, I mean, you mentioned 300 or so businesses. Are we assuming somewhere around $50, which would be what, $15,000 a year?
So it would be a nominal amount that would just go directly to the enforcement at this point. We don't have a hefty fee. The fee structure would actually be built in for additional funds that we would potentially use for a reserve or for educational purposes. But yeah, I think you're right about the math. It's around $15,000.
All right. So it wouldn't actually pay for the cost of a new person, but new duties for an existing position?
Yeah, positions, just an extended arm for existing positions.
And you mentioned shrinking budgets. We've certainly been aware of what's been going on in Lane County for a while now with the reduction in sheriff's patrols, reduction in use of jail space, et cetera. Has there been much of an impact on the county health department?
The health department has weathered the storm pretty well, but within the health department, we're health and human services, so we have a menagerie of different divisions everywhere from, you know, our financial, fiscal, to developmental disabilities, human services, public health, et cetera, and each division is slightly different. So some divisions that require on a payment structure have suffered, where others are doing just fine. So, and typically the divisions that have federal dollars built in and a grant funding mechanism built in are able to weather the storm just because of the diversified portfolio, so to speak, on how they get their money.
That was the next question, whether there are some grants available, obviously, to fund some of the programs, and the answer clearly is yes.
Absolutely. And then even within public health, the prevention team, the team that's actually coming up with a lot of this these policy ideas, is partly funded by the new coordinated care organization. So in our county, that's Trillium Community Health Plan. And the CCOs have within their responsibilities and within the mandate dollars that need to go towards prevention. So that's what we're doing, really. By cutting down on smoking, we're having a direct positive impact on the future health expenses of Lane County.
So do we even know when there might be a public hearing about the moves here against tobacco sales to teens?
We don't. From my understanding, it's going to be early in the new year. We're going to sit down, and there's going to be a work session among the commissioners. That's where it's going to even, you know, go forward from there. They have to really put their heads around it and get a more in-depth explanation. So what happens typically is the prevention team goes to the board as an agenda item at the Tuesday meeting. So they have, you know, a matter of minutes to really explain and flesh out something. And then from there, it requires further discussion. So that's what's going to happen.
All right. And certainly the trick is to get Lane County under a 20% tobacco sales to minors issue. Jason Davis, Lane County Health and Human Services Public Information Officer, thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
You bet. We'll take a short break on the Jefferson Exchange, return with the Writer's Almanac, followed by a discussion about resistance to antibiotics in the state of Oregon. That's coming up on the Jefferson Exchange.